The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, good to practice with you. So I got a question submitted on the question line. I got a lot of questions. They were lovely. I really enjoyed reading them. I'm regretful I can only respond to one, but it's good. Somebody said it's like a confessional booth or something like that. And yeah, please. It's helpful to know what's on your mind. Anyway, okay, here's the question. My frustration and low-key fury with the interminable chatter in my head during sits has started to make me dread meditation. I can't believe that after nearly a decade, it's barely abated, and I feel pretty hopeless. I guess my question is not, how do I stop the chatter? But how do I develop a better relationship with it for real? Not just, quote, making peace with it in the hopes that it will finally quiet down, but actually accepting that maybe this is what meditation looks like for me now and forever. Yeah, I love that. So, of course, I'm tempted to answer the question that you said very explicitly is not the question. Tempted to answer that. And I'll maybe answer the wrong question a little bit and then answer the right question. So without elaboration, just a few things that I won't say much about. I just kind of make a little list. But practice at a time of day when there's peak wakefulness. Do mental noting out loud. So sometimes, you know, if we're noting breathing in, breathing out, or just in, out, literally say in, out verbally. And that creates a kind of feedback loop. Cycle through different anchors using one for a few seconds and then moving on. So it might be breathing, and then hearing, then eyes open, seeing, closing the eyes, breathing, hearing. More pastures for the mind. Use a meditation timer with interval bells set very frequently, like maybe, you know, 30 seconds or something like that. So there's a bell that's going to ring. Pleasant bell rings often. Sit for much longer than you want to, including through significant physical discomfort. Listen to sound like we did. Listen out to sound, into discursive thinking, and then out to sound, and then the whole soundscape. Curtail digital frenzy. Watch tree TV, as somebody calls it, just like, you know, lay on the ground somewhere where there's some trees moving. Look up, watch. Equanimize the engine of bodily agitation that makes thought more urgent. Parrot back your thoughts. This is from acceptance and commitment therapy. Literally, parrot back your thoughts, but more slowly. Examine if there are any psychological reasons why you feel compelled to keep reminding yourself of yourself. But that was not your question, and perhaps I have directly colluded with your aversive relationship to thinking. So Bad, Matthew. Bad, but I couldn't resist. Michelle McDonald said, "You wouldn't put cotton in your ears to try to get enlightened." So, why do we try to do that with our thinking mind? Why do we try to do that? So, the first thing to say is, all is not lost, you know? And any sense that somehow the Dharma is foreclosed to you, that you're locked out. It's said that there are 84,000 Dharma temperaments, right? And sort of 84,000 doors. And the Buddha was the one who could teach all of them. But sadly, you were stuck with Matthew Brentsilver of California. And so you have to find your Dharma doors. You have to find them. The main thing is, if you truly want to know the Dharma, you will know it. You will. And I've known practitioners who say that the discursive chatter has remained steady, not for years, for decades. They feel badly about themselves, chastise themselves for being bad meditators, but I can unmistakably hear their wisdom. And any notion that they've simply been wasting time seems really confused. Who knows what the relationship is between auditory thinking and wisdom? It's complicated. Remember, sila, samadhi, panya. Sila, ethical training, samadhi, mind training, panya, wisdom. And there is not a one-to-one relationship between wisdom and the silence of the mind. The counterexamples in different forms arise in my mind right now. Like, there are people for whom samadhi actually does very little for their wisdom. Wisdom grows in all sorts of ways. And we keep trying to keep tabs on it, but most of the goodness of the path accrues beneath the radar of awareness. And, we hear about samadhi usually rendered as concentration or unification. We hear about rapture and jhana, meditative absorption, bliss, ecstasy. And and we imagine that samadhi is the absence of thought, the silence of verbal thinking. And the one manifestation of samadhi is kind of graveyard silence in the mind. But samadhi has different features and expressions, and you should explore them. So one aspect of samadhi is more like the resolution of ambivalence, of just wanting one thing or fewer things. And there may be auditory thought, but is it possible to gather your intention and point all the arrows you can towards the Dharma? Samadhi is involves changes in the sense of the body. So even as the mind might rattle on, examine the body. It may you want to be sensitive to when it's becoming more earthy, more grounded. Tranquility and samadhi are not perfectly correlated, right? There may be noise, but you actually feel deeply tranquil, deeply settled. Sometimes the body as samadhi develops, the mind may still be moving, but our body becomes more porous, more receptive, more sensitive. That receptivity is not considered classically a hallmark of samadhi, but that's what people are describing in retreat. I would say it's something adjacent to samadhi. And they might say, well, my mind didn't stop, but I feel so sensitive to the world and to whatever, to nature, to my life. I feel so sensitive. That sensitivity is pointing to some facet, I would say, of samadhi. And then there's the question, what is samadhi for anyway? And that's a big question, but I would say one of its main functions is that it makes us more receptive to the Dharma, more available to learn new things about ourself, the world, how we conceive, how we model ourself. Samadhi is what allows us to put down some of the fidelity to the old models we have. And so we put down those familiar models of self and world and my life in order to become available to new information. And so that this is more, I would say that's more about surrender than it is about the silence of the mind per se. How do you surrender to the moment more deeply, even in the presence of thought? Is that possible? Look, samadhi doesn't, a surrender does not require silence. Some part of you wants to surrender. Successful treatment of chronic pain is often not the resolution of the symptoms, but those symptoms occupy dramatically less real estate in the mind. And it may be useful to consider thinking in that way, that you're not truly not waiting for it to stop. You're deeply relinquishing the hope for something to be otherwise. And in that manner, it shrinks the kind of real estate. There is samadhi, but there's sila, there's dana, Sila, ethical conduct. Can you cultivate exquisiteness with regard to self and other? Can you use your ethical life as a way of training your attention? Love is a very practicable anchor in life because the tides of aversion and kindness, they carry a kind of instant karmic reverberation. They wake us up. We feel them. We feel the love. We feel the hate. We feel the alignment and the misalignment. Let that be a practice into itself. And a practice that gathers the attention. You, the questioner, whoever you are, you're trying to take samadhi, but this path is about dana, giving away generosity. So can you give away? And do not take on your samadhi troubles as a kind of identity. That does not belong to you. You do not belong to it. Only when there is that, there is what belongs to a self, is there a self? In the Majjhima Nikaya, only when there is what belongs to a self, is there a self? And so a not self is the dissolution, the sense of ownership. Samadhi is such a landmine kind of or egoic crystallization. All the badges and demerits and gold stars are just the melodrama of self-view. So painful. Enough. Okay. Offer this for consideration.